AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Tuesday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. It's the 24th of February. That's a special day for the Shreve family because my two grandsons, Chase and Drew, they were born on this day. Chase is 3 years old today. Drew is one today. And Amy and Travis, my daughter and son-in-law, they have their hands full with three boys. Jack is four, and Chase and Drew, three and one. And so Debbie and I are going to get to go to Houston this weekend to go to Chase and Drew's birthday party and be a part of that. They're all excited. And then I have two granddaughters. Emmy is 15, and she is learning how to drive and so excited about driving. And then Lyndon, who kind of rules the roost, is 10. And so the Lord has blessed us with five grandkids, and we are excited about that. Well, I want to talk to you today about racism. I'm going to entitle this program, Will the Real Racist Please Stand Up? We hear so much today about racism, and this person is a racist, and that person is a racist. And normally, it comes from the left saying the right. People on the left saying people on the right are racist. You're just a racist. You're a fascist. You're a Nazi. You know, I mean, obviously, the Nazis were racist. They hated the Jewish people. We could say they hated the Jewish race. Well, what does the Bible really say about that? You know, Paul on Mars Hill, when he was talking to the Athenians, the men of Athens. I've been to Mars Hill on a couple of different occasions, got to preach from Acts 17 on Mars Hill. It's really a cool experience. But he's addressing them. He wants to share the gospel with them. So he stood in their midst and he said, "Men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.'" They had all these altars to all these gods, and they said, "Well, what if we forgot one?" "Well, I guess we'll have to have an altar to an unknown God just in case. That'll be our catch-all in case we missed one." So he says, "You have an inscription to an unknown God. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things." Now, he's zeroing in on, hey, let me tell you about the unknown God, the God you don't know that you have an altar for. He is the true God, the God who made it all. And then he says this, earth-shattering for today and for the topic of racism, "And he made from one man," or the King James says, "one blood, every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they may grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us." You know, we talk about racism and all the different races, and I get it. I get what people mean by that. But really, we're all part of the same race. We're all part of the human race. The Lord made us from one man, from Adam, from one blood. You know, the name Eve, Adam named his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. That's what her name means. And everyone traces his or her roots all the way back, You keep going back and back and back and back and back. You're going to get to Noah, and we're all part of Noah's family. And then you go back from Noah and you get to Adam, because we all came from Adam. So we're all part of the same blood. So this idea of racism is really not, that's not an issue when you boil it down in the scripture, but I get it. We have different melanin amounts in our skin. Some people have darker skin than others. And so we have this black and white situation. And it seems like those on the left want to fancy themselves as we are the ones who are championing the minorities, and we are for the black community, and the those on the right are racists. Not everyone, they probably wouldn't put everyone in that category, but they love to throw out that slur. You're a racist, and Donald Trump is a racist. You hear that all the time. And then you hear somebody like a J.B. Pritzker that says, well, no one's ever called Donald Trump a racist. And somebody put together a montage of all these people calling him a racist, calling him a Nazi, calling him a fascist. I mean, you see that all over the place. It's almost laughable that somebody would actually make that claim that nobody's ever called Donald Trump a racist. You know, he had that very stupid post that they had to take down where he had Barack Obama and Michelle in The Lion King. And he shows them, puts their faces over the faces of primates. And he put Biden in there with Jill, too. So it wasn't just exclusive, but it was totally tone deaf. It was totally stupid to do that. And he took it down, said that was somebody else that did that. Who knows? But the idea that, well, that means you're a racist. Does that mean you're a racist? No. Here's the thing. It's what Martin Luther King Jr. said. He had a dream. What was his dream? His dream was that his four little children would be judged not on the basis of the color of their skin, but on the content of their character. And, you know, racism is judging someone based on the color of his or her skin. That's what it is. As opposed to judging someone, as Jesus said, judge not according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Judging someone based on the content of that person's character. What is their character like? Now, I contend that one of the most racist things just happened a day or two ago, and it was with the two governors of two of the biggest Democratic states in the union, Gavin Newsom, governor of California, and Kathy Hochul, governor of Michigan. The things that they say about black people are just reprehensible. And every black person should say, hey, why do you lump me into this category? You know, it's just like Joe Biden said in the 2020 election. You know, if you don't know who to vote for, you ain't black. Well, good grief. I mean, it seems like a black person could say, just like a white person could say, just like an Asian person, just like anybody, I'm going to vote for the candidate I feel like represents the values that are near and dear to me. Now, we always make the push that you would vote, you'd be an informed voter, and you would vote for the values that more closely align to biblical values. Pete Hegseth, I love this. I saw him at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention last week. He addressed the delegates on Thursday evening. And people love to smear those on the left, those who hate Donald Trump and hate Pete Hegseth by extension. They love to point out all the failures of his life. Well, hey, listen, there are a lot of failures in his life. But Pete Hegseth, by his own voice, by his own admission, has recognized that, has come to Jesus through repentance and faith, and he makes no bones about the fact that he's been saved by the blood of the Lamb. Well, this is what he had to say to pastors especially, and he's talking to pastors and Christian leaders, but he's talking about, hey, get it out of your mind that you're not going to talk about these issues in our culture because you say they're too political. Here is what he had to say.
If I may offer a few observations, protecting the God-given life of an unborn baby is not political, it's biblical.
And we cut down some of the clapping just because it took a long time.
Protecting our borders from criminals who steal from us, assault our loved ones, and poison our citizens is not political, it's biblical. Protecting women and children from being trafficked for sexual slavery is not political, it is biblical. Standing guard over our children, rather than letting them be taught perverse sexual practices or sharing a locker room with men pretending to be women, is not political, it's biblical. Protecting our culture and our religion from godless ideologies and pagan religions, not political. It's biblical.
Amen to that. It is biblical, and we need to stand up and speak up, especially as pastors, and let the chips fall where they may. We need to be faithful witnesses, and we need to warn people of what's coming down the pike if we turn away from the Lord. Okay, so getting back to the two governors that I think expose the fact that they look at black people in a negative way, as a group of people in a negative way, that they're not smart, that they're not capable, that they're not able. This is what Kathy Hochul had to say about black people.
Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things. And I want the world open up to all of them, because when you have their diverse voices innovating solutions through technology, then you're really addressing society's broader challenges.
I mean, does she really think that there are young black kids growing up in the Bronx that don't even know what the word computer is? I mean, good night. That's just unbelievable. And then the clip I played yesterday about Gavin Newsom talking to a black crowd and trying to say, hey, I'm just like you. This is what he had to say about that.
I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just trying to impress upon you. I'm like you. I'm no better than you. You know, I'm a 960 SAT guy. And I'm not trying to offend anyone, you know, trying to act all there if you got 940. But literally a 960 SAT guy. You've never seen me read a speech. Because I cannot read a speech. Maybe the wrong business to be in.
So he's telling them, hey, I'm not very smart. I didn't do well on the SAT, so I'm just like you. You're not very smart. You don't do well on the SAT. And hey, furthermore, I can barely read. I can't read my speech. And so I'm just like you. You can't read either. I mean, it's just so demeaning. And it's just so wrong, because I saw another clip from him. Somebody unearthed a clip where he was interviewing somebody, and he talked about this guy had written a 260-page book, and Gavin Newsom said, your book was so great, I read it inside of 2 hours, an hour and a half, less than 2 hours, something like that, that he said. Well, to read a 260-page book in less than 2 hours is quite a feat. I think the guy might be able to read. Maybe he did get a 960 on his SAT. I don't know. But this idea that, you know, I'm gonna show you that I'm just not like you. And what do I think about you? Well, I think you're not very smart, and I think you're not able to read. And why do I think that about you? Because of the color of your skin. It is sickening that people think like that. That is the crux of racism. I don't judge you based on the content of your character. I prejudge you just based on the color of your skin. And if I see that your skin color is black, I immediately make judgments about you, and I have opinions about you that you're not very smart, you can't read, and you really don't even know what a computer is. You remember this clip from Zoolander?
Without much further ado, I give you the Derek Zoolander Center for Kids Who Can't Read Good.
That's what I thought about when Gavin Newsom had that to say. Well, we're talking about racism. Will the real racist please stand up? And when we come back from the break, we'll be talking about anti-Semitism, which is the hot button topic of racism. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We'll be right back after the break. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about, will the real racist please stand up? As I said in the first segment, the slur that comes out so often when two people are talking, when a liberal progressive is talking to a conservative, that comes out very quickly. You're a racist. You're a fascist. You're a Nazi. And then the person is trying to defend himself. And so, as I said, the people who are the real racists are those who judge other folks based on the color of their skin. And, you know, we talk about, or you hear being discussed about white privilege. You know, well, you're a white person, so you have all this privilege. But with DEI, Trump has done a lot to get that out of the equation. DEI punishes people for being white. It's so racist. The whole thing is racist. We ought to have a system in place for jobs and for scholastic achievement that doesn't look at the color of anyone's skin, that just says, okay, let's judge the content of your character. We've said before, when you think of professional sports, they operate from the standpoint of, we want to win. We're going to put the best people on the field, the best people on the court. We don't care what color their skin is. We just, are they good at the game? You know, golf doesn't care the color of your skin. Are you good at the game? Now, was there racism years and years and years ago? Yes. Is there racism today? Well, in the hearts of some, for sure, because they're judging people based on the color of their skin. But this idea that it's a systemic problem, it's just baked into the systems in America, I would say, well, that's totally false. Now, let's go back to Gavin Newsom, because I thought about this just this morning. One of my favorite clips is the interaction that Gavin Newsom had when he was lieutenant governor in California. The year was 2013. It was March, early March of 2013. And he goes on the talk show with Adam Carolla. And I don't think he had any clue what he was getting himself into, because Adam Carolla was putting the screws to this slick politician who does not have any qualms about saying things that are just not true, just like I shared. So he said that he can't read good. He's Derek Zoolander. He needs the school for kids who can't read good. But then he shares with another guy, hey, I read your book, 260-page book, inside of 2 hours. We have to be able to read pretty fast to do that. Obviously, it's not true that he can't read good, but he's trying to show, hey, I'm just like you. You can't read, I can't read. You're not smart, I'm not smart. How sickening is that? How racist is that? Why would you think they can't read? Well, because they're black. Why do you think that black kids in the Bronx can't even say computer? Well, because obviously they can't, because they're black. That is racist. Well, here is Adam Carolla interviewing Gavin Newsom and calling him out on the things that he just throws out there, thinking that it'll just skate by.
The kids, half of African Americans in the state of California, roughly half of Latino families, have no access to a checking account or an ATM. Things we take for granted. They don't have a checking account.
What's wrong with them?
And because they don't have the resources to sock those things away.
Why do we have them?
A lot of different reasons, but roughly half those families don't.
Why do Armenians have them?
But where they end up is check cashing places.
But I want to know why those groups don't have access.
Well, there are a lot of just happens to be that. We can
so
talk
they're
about
flawed?
No, they're hardly flawed, but they're struggling.
Genetically
folks are making
flawed.
Their work. Hardly. Not absolutely.
But okay,
not.
So but
absolutely
do Asians
not.
Have this problem?
I mean, a lot of communities have a lot of whites have these problems.
Oh,
but
so
I just,
that's not just black and Hispanic.
No, but it but
why did you bring up black and Hispanic?
Because the magnitude is ominous.
But why so many of them?
It just happens to be the
just,
magnitude.
That's the way God planned it?
Not at all.
Well it what just, happened to them?
There are a lot of issues and with it, that the communities are struggling. A lot
why
of new
are they
immigrants.
Struggling?
A lot of different reasons. Lack
Hispanics
of opportunity.
Have been here. Blacks have been here longer than we've been here.
Well, we can surmise.
What
all
about
that.
Asians? They were put in internment camps.
Yeah, we in fact it all initiated at San Francisco. And
all right.
The Chinese Exclusion Act came
so
out.
So they
progressive
are they the
San
Czech?
Francisco.
Are they the Czech?
A lot of Asians certainly do.
Oh, so why don't you include
because
them?
The only reason why is the magnitude. Of
there's
the
so
problem,
many more.
The magnitude and percentage.
But there's
terms
no way to figure out how that happened.
Of Africa. We could talk about it. You know what I'm dealing with? I don't want to have a sociological debate.
Sure,
I want
why
to deal
would
with
you?
Reality.
Have, no.
No, here's why.
Why would you want to do that? Because the person from the Times wouldn't write good things about
oh,
you if
God,
you did that.
No, that's not the case because I
you
want to deal
want
with
to get
reality.
Into that.
No.
You want to deal with reality.
I want to deal with the reality of people
is.
That are struggling, people are suffering. I want to deal with the problems in
why
a pragmatic way.
Why are they struggling
way.
And
I don't
suffering?
Want an idea. We can hold hands and surmise about all these underlying
why are they,
reasons.
I don't want to do that. I
want
to know why they're struggling. Why are they struggling?
A lot of folks are struggling because they can't find jobs.
Why blacks and Hispanics? Why blacks and Hispanics?
Across the board, all socioeconomic.
Okay, so everybody.
Everybody's struggling.
So Asians are suffering just as much as blacks.
The face of welfare is not an African-American family.
Oh, so it's Asian, Jewish, it's all of them.
Caucasian, it's
okay,
a lot
so
of folks
we're all
in society.
Struggling.
A lot of folks are struggling.
Okay.
Well, that was from 2013, Gavin Newsom getting grilled by Adam Carolla. I don't think he realized what he was stepping into when he agreed to do that sit-down. But I just think it's classic, and you're calling him out. Now, why is it that you have an inordinate amount of black people that he says that can't get checking accounts or whatever? I don't even know if that's true. He's just throwing it out there. Well, I would say this. In the inner city and in the hip-hop culture, that culture is rotten. This idea that you get everything for nothing. You don't take responsibility for your life. You rely on the government. That is a rotten way to think. It has nothing to do with your skin color, but it does have a lot to do with the culture. And that culture, Bishop Jackson and I have had this conversation before, that kind of culture is rotten, and it produces rottenness. And we've seen that. When you go down that road, it doesn't produce good things. It produces kids getting involved in gangs and all sorts of terrible things, and crime just goes off the chain, and that's what you have so much in Chicago and other big cities like that. They've bought into this culture, and it destroys. It doesn't bring people out of that. It destroys. And giving people something for nothing is not good for anyone. It doesn't help anyone. You know, when you earn things, you feel good about yourself because, you know, an honest day's pay for an honest day's work. As I've told you before, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 says, if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. We are not to give to those who will not work. We are to give to those and help those who cannot work. That's a big, there's a big difference in there. Okay, so let's shift gears. Who is the real racist? Let's talk about anti-Semitism, because so many people hate Jewish people. Why? Because they're Jews and they hate the Jews. Now, I have a little booklet that I read, Christian Zionism, A Biblical Response to Confusion, Criticism, and Cultural Pressure by Dr. Susan Michael. Dr. Susan Michael is the USA Director of the International Christian Embassy Jerusalem and has been a pioneer in furthering Christian engagement with Israel and the Jewish people for more than four decades. And so she wrote this little book. It's very easy to read. It's not 260 pages. It is, how many pages? 46 pages. It's kind of a little booklet. But it just helps you understand this topic of Christian Zionism. Now, that was the whole issue why Mike Huckabee, the ambassador to Israel, why he sat down with Tucker Carlson. And if you listen to that, it's very long. I was driving home from Nashville, Tennessee, and so that's a long 7-8 hour drive. And so I listened to the whole thing as I was driving. And I thought Mike did a great job. Mike is a personal friend, and I appreciate him so much. But he didn't let Tucker get under his skin. And Tucker can get under a person's skin because, as you're going to hear in this clip, Tucker himself admits to being a total jerk. And he really is a total jerk. He comes at people not to uncover the truth so much as just to ask gotcha questions and to put people in uncomfortable hot boxes, so to speak. And so he's trying to hem you in. Ah, see, I got you there. Well, this was a back and forth he had with Mike concerning Iran.
Boss.
Mm-hmm. Or you mean with Iran?
With Iran.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Okay.
And the Israeli government short-circuits it by hitting Iran. So, like, they...
What do you mean they short-circuited by hitting Iran?
They did everything they could to shut down the negotiations between the United States, the Trump administration, and Iran. And look, I wouldn't... They're acting, again, in their own interest. But our country should also act in its own interest. That's all I'm saying. And don't tell me that Bibi want a war with Iran.
He doesn't. If Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff could be successful in getting the president's demands, and keep in mind, these are the president's demands.
What are those demands?
No enrichment, no nuclear weapon, quit killing your own people in the streets by the tens of thousands. You and I both agree that it's a horrible thing to kill your own citizens, which Iran is doing.
It's a horrible thing to kill anybody's citizens.
Anybody's citizens. We agree on that.
Except that they're 14-year-olds working for Hamas, but
no,
whatever.
It's still a tragedy.
No, it is. Sorry, I'm being a jerk.
You really are being a jerk.
I am. I know. I am such a jerk.
I'm going to write down
Tucker Carlson admitted.
He's a jerk.
Oh, I am a jerk. Everyone knows that. I mean, I'm trying to, really trying. Okay.
Okay.
No, but I agree with you 100%. Of course, it's a tragedy.
If that could be done. And I pray it can.
Yes.
And you know why? Number one, because it would be wonderful for everybody. Number two, if there is a war, you're going to be 6,000 miles from it. You know where I'm going to be? In the bullseye. Do I want there to be a war? No. Do Israelis want there to be a war? No.
So that was some of the back and forth between Ambassador Mike Huckabee and Tucker Carlson. And Mike followed that up, and he said this: Tucker and I had a very twisty and frankly confusing discussion about the meaning of Zionism. So this book by Dr. Susan Michael, Christian Zionism, helps you to understand what exactly it is. He said, now I have no idea if Tucker was trying to be difficult or we were just talking past each other, but he started out the discussion on Zionism by saying he wanted to ask me in my capacity as a former Baptist minister about the theology of Christian Zionism. But he kept dragging it to discussions about other topics, literally other countries, things that have nothing to do with theology, and certainly not with Israel, Zionism, or anything else. So let me just make it really clear. Since Tucker actually seemed more interested in the definition of political Zionism, it's simple. Zionism is the belief that Israel has a right to exist in safety and security. That's it. Pretty simple and straightforward. Lots of Christians who don't have a theological basis for supporting Israel are actually Zionists because they support Israel's right to exist in safety and security. That's a no-brainer. The last two popes, for example, both came here to Israel, Pope Benedict in May 2009 and Pope Francis in May 2014, and both of them said the same exact words, quote, "Let it be universally recognized that the state of Israel has the right to exist and to enjoy peace and security within internationally agreed borders." Pope John Paul II, arguably one of the most influential of anyone in the Christian faith and a remarkable man, was also a, quote, Christian Zionist, unquote. Tucker, I couldn't get you to say you support Israel's right to exist during our interview, But as I told you then, I'll say it again, someone doesn't need to believe it's commanded by the Bible in order to be a Zionist. But if one does believe the Bible, and I do, then it's even more compelling. All you need to do is believe that Israel has a right to exist. Why can't you just say that? I asked you multiple times during our interview, and not once did you give me a direct answer. You refuse to say whether or not Israel has a right to exist. I hope you will state your answer to that simple question soon. Well, great post, Ambassador Mike Huckabee. Well, yeah, of course Israel has a right to exist. Now, you know, Tucker Carlson got into this, well, wait a minute. It says in Genesis chapter 15, God gave way more land to the Jews than they actually possess. And so are you saying that they need to take all that land? Think about it this way. God did give way more land to the Jews than they ever possessed. It's not because it was a fault of God. It was the fault of the Jews. They didn't possess their possessions. The Lord told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, every place on which your foot trods in the promised land, I have given it to you. Past tense. It's yours. But you have to go get it. And they only got so much of it. You know, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, as Christians, that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So, question for you, question for myself, how much are we possessing of our possessions? God has given us every spiritual blessing, but we are just like the Jews of the Old Testament. We don't possess all, in practice, all that God has for us. We don't possess our possessions. And how do you do that? You do it by faith. The Jews, when they came into the promised land under Joshua, they should have taken more of the land, but they didn't. And now this is what they have. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. We're talking about the subject of racism, anti-Semitism. And when you hear the music, that means we're up against a break. When we come back, as is our practice, we're going to open the phone lines 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I would love to hear from you if you have a question, if you have a comment. Pick up the phone, give me a call, and let's talk. You're listening to Real Truth for Today here on American Family Radio. And I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. We'll be right back.
Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn currently has clinics that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you consider a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most centers can afford. Your donation will save countless lives for years to come. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're opening the phone lines 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, we've been talking about the issue of racism and who is the real racist. And I made the claim that, you know, racism is judging someone, whether favorably or unfavorably, based on the color of that person's skin. Jesus said in John chapter 7, don't judge according to appearance sake, but judge with righteous judgment. You know, this idea, people take Matthew 7, the Sermon on the Mount, judge not lest you be judged. You're not supposed to judge anything. But Jesus goes on to say, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruits. You have to judge people by their fruits. And so it's what Martin Luther King said. Judge somebody by the content of their character, not on the color of their skin, because racism is all about judging someone on the color of their character. Anti-Semitism, we hate people based on the fact that they're Jews. They're from the family of Shem, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, the three sons of Noah. And so they come through the Jews come through the lines of the Shemites or the Semites, and that's how you get this term anti-Semitic. So I contend that Donald Trump, I don't know him personally, but I contend that he is not a racist. He judges people based on the content of their character, the way that we are supposed to make determinations about people, and not on the color of their skin. The color of someone's skin doesn't matter. And I praise God that my sweet, wonderful little granddaughter, Lyndon Joy, was adopted. And she's a little black girl, and we love her to death. And she loves her mom and dad so much. She loves her big sister, Emmy. And she is such a blessing to our family. And she's a person made in the image of God. And we know, and she knows, that her skin color is darker than ours. But it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all. And so we are so blessed to have her in our family. Well, we're going to the phone lines, and we have John on the line from Arkansas. John, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Good morning, Pastor Jeff. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Hey, going back a few years, but you and I used to play basketball at Champion Forest back around 2000 before we became old men. So I was thinking about what you're saying, and I thought, man, if DEI had been around back then, you and I could have been in the NBA.
Yeah, right? That's right. That's for sure.
You were a little more physical than I was. I was skinny, but back then I was skinny. But yeah, I thank you for your show. I appreciate it. This topic is so infuriating, the lying. And Lisa and I were in church Sunday, and the sermon was about Proverbs 6:16. You know, six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable. And I've heard you teach this sermon before, too, and lying shows up in there twice. And that's all the left has. And so this racist claim, when you pin them down, they can never point to anything specifically. I saw a reel by Nick Shirley, the guy who exposed all the fraud in Minnesota, and he said he's totally believes it's brainwashing. And you look at our mainstream media, and that's all they do 24/7 is lie, lie, lie. And so many people just take it for what it is, and they believe it. And I'm kind of wondering when all this fraud money dries up, because somebody's got to be funding all of that. And so maybe some of that will dry up. But then I look at, can this not be stopped for slander? I know that's hard to prove, but it is just infuriating to listen to the constant lying.
Yeah. Well, you know, and even AI will admit to this, and I think AI is so leaning to the left, but AI will say, you know, when you look at CNN and ABC and NBC, all the legacy media outlets, they're 90%+ against Donald Trump. They rarely say anything positive about him. And with Biden, I think it was more like 50-50. There were negatives all over the place. I mean, that guy was, the lights were on, but nobody was home. And but they covered for him, and they just attacked Trump at every point. And you know, he's called them out before on it, John, and said, hey, no matter what I do, you know, it doesn't matter. You're just going to report the negative of it. And you know, if you want to pick somebody apart and always just criticize, you can do that with any single person. They criticize Jesus. He's the perfect Son of God. He's love incarnate. And what did they say about him? He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. Why do you listen to him? He's a Samaritan and has a demon. You know, they'll just make stuff up. They just hated him, and they wanted him gone. Well, people hate Donald Trump, and they can't see straight because of their hatred. But I appreciate it, John. I agree with you, and you and Lisa are a blessing to me, And so thanks for listening to the program. Thanks for always encouraging me. And thanks for standing strong, brother. Love you. All right, we have Steve on the line from Texas. Steve, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, good morning, Pastor Jeff.
Good morning.
I was just wanting to comment on how in the Bible, it comments on how there are children of light and children of darkness. And children of darkness would be those who are of the kingdom of Hasatan, or Satan, who is the adversary and the accuser. Mm-hmm. So if someone is among the children of darkness, Satan doesn't sit around pointing the finger at himself all day and saying, I am a murderer, I am a thief, I am a destroyer. Satan points at the children of light and says, you are that.
Right.
And tries to convince, I guess you could call it the squishy middle, that the good guys are the bad guys and woe unto those who call good evil and evil good.
Yes.
So don't expect children of darkness who are of the kingdom of Satan to agree that they have lied, because the lying is part of their kingdom that's built into the cake.
Very, very true.
And I would also like to note that if someone was to have among the church, say somebody walked into church and they were drunk and using hard drugs as they walk into the church, and then they go right to praise and worship right after that, would you say, hey, something is amiss here? or would it just be like, hey, let's just go. This is perfectly normal.
Yes. Yeah, that's a great point, Steve. I've said before, just as it relates to Caitlin Collins and others in the news media, you know, Caitlin's the CNN person. Once you lie to me and it's exposed that you lied, you know, the ABC News that lied recently about ICE and what they did with the 5-year-old boy, and then the truth came out. You know, once you you didn't get a story wrong, you purposely lied about a story. There's a difference between getting something wrong and lying about it. Once you do that, unless you repent of that, unless you come out and say, hey, guess what? I lied. I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. Please forgive me. That kind of repentance. I'm never going to listen to you again. You know, it's like Rudy Giuliani said this one time, and I've never forgotten. And he said, if you sit down to play poker with a guy and you catch him cheating at poker, why would you ever play with him again? He's an unrepentant cheater, and I'm going to keep playing with you? Well, no, because all you do is cheat. And so if I keep playing with you, I must be a moron. And he used that word, only a moron would do that. And so people that listen to CNN, I saw a funny meme today. It was a TV that had fallen off somebody's wall. It was wall-mounted TV. It had fallen off, and it was on the floor, and it said, even the TV can't stand to watch CNN. It committed suicide, because all they do is lie, and all they do is take the truth and twist the truth and present a narrative, and people need to wake up. And so judge, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. It's hard. You know, we get our news from sources that, are they giving us the straight scoop, or are they spinning it one way or the other? And so we have to do our due diligence. American Family Radio, American Family Association exists to help listeners and viewers get the straight scoop on things and see life from a biblical perspective. I have somebody that listens to the program. He's, I think he's an Episcopal priest, and he's talked to me about, you know, being more open-minded and things like that, and be careful what I say. And so I told him, I said, hey, here's the deal. I said, you look at the Bible through the lens of culture, and I look at culture through the lens of Scripture. And you and I are poles apart in how we view things, because my view doesn't change because the culture changes, because my view is rooted in Scripture. So I appreciate it, Steve. That's a good point for sure. Well, we have Dick on the line from North Carolina. Dick, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor. My mother's family were Orthodox Jews, so I grew up on both sides of the fence. and have, I'm 78 years old. I've watched the entire episode all down through the years. I believe, this is my opinion, that since Judaism is a nationality, a culture, and a religion, that I don't know anybody who's more entitled to a patriot. I believe that Zionism is just a form of patriotism, no different than the patriotism that we feel in our country or any other country, any ethnic group feels towards the country of their origin. Just that simple.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. Well, I appreciate that, Dick. And, you know, here's the thing that's different, too, about Jews. So if you watch the Tucker Carlson, Mike Huckabee interview, what Tucker doesn't seem to get is God has chosen the Jewish people for what purpose? To be his representatives on the earth. They were going to be a particular people, his special treasure, as it says in Exodus chapter 19, to show to the world the Savior. And where did Jesus come from? He came from the Jews. God is not finished with Jews. God has made promises to Israel. He's going to fulfill those promises to ethnic Israel. And you read in Revelation chapter 7, what happens during the tribulation period? You have 12,000 Jews who put their faith and trust in Jesus, 12,000 from each tribe, 144,000 total, that are going to be like 144,000 Apostle Pauls, who is a Jew, go out into the world to evangelize. Jesus is going to come back, defeat the Antichrist at the Battle of Armageddon, Revelation chapter 19, and set up his kingdom in, guess what? Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is going to be the center of the earth. He'll rule and reign from there. And so God has a plan for Israel. He hasn't given up on the plan. I encourage you to read, not you personally, Dick, but just our listeners to read Romans chapter 11 and know that God is not finished with the Jews. There's a partial hardening until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. And then once the rapture of the church hits, God is going to be dealing again with the Jewish people, and the Jews will come to know Christ as Savior and King. And they will suffer for their faith. It's going to be hard to be a Christian during the tribulation period. If you don't get the mark of the beast, hey, you can't buy and you can't sell, and it's hard to live in a world where you can't buy or sell. So I appreciate the call, Dick. God bless you, brother. We have David on the line from Virginia. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
I don't know if you can hear me. My phone's breaking up, but I'm full that... saved us, because as I look across the world and watch news, so disheartened, and need a Savior. We're all just rotten.
Yeah. Well, that's true, David. And it just, as we, the connection is bad, but as we look around, we just, it brings us to the point of saying, God, we need you desperately. Our world, it's a Romans chapter 1 world. We've rejected God, and he's given us over to sexual immorality, homosexual immorality, and now a reprobate mind, a depraved mind, a mind that no longer functions. And we need Jesus desperately. We need revival to come, as we talk about that continually on the program. And how does it come about? It comes about when God's people pray, get right with him. Revival is for the church, and the overflow of revival is people come to know Christ. If my people, who are called by my name, the Lord says, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Well, I'm sorry we ran out of time. Dennis in Missouri, Jerry in Texas, and Don in Mississippi. Appreciate you guys calling in. And you can always reach me, Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org, Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. Well, let me just encourage you. Hey, today is the day the Lord has made. This is the day which the Lord has made. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow may not come. All you have is today. Live it to the full in Jesus. Live it surrendered to him. Father, our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done in my life today. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.